My name is Daryl Holness, and I am a Hurricane Katrina evacuee. Since the storm, I have worked with a project entitled Surviving Katrina and Rita in Houston. Through this project, scores of individuals like myself who were displaced to the Houston area by this devastating event have worked to collect the stories of their fellow survivors. Here are some of their stories. For those of us who were personally touched by Katrina's force, the experience was almost biblical. All along our evacuation routes, we met people who, without being asked and without taking no for an answer, gave us food, a tank of gas, or a place to spend the night. These acts of kindness created instant communities. Strangers became best friends overnight. This generosity kept many of us going during the most difficult times. Even while Katrina was well offshore, New Orleanians began crossing the social and geographic boundaries that had separated them for centuries. Governor Reese, a young Christian rap artist, heard about the storm for the first time from a stranger in his 9th Ward neighborhood.
I pulled up in a gas station, and I was getting gas, paying for my gas, and this white lady. And you gotta understand, in my neighborhood, you don't have a lot of white people. And so this was kind of odd for me right there. Not that I wasn't familiar with white folks or anything like that. It was just that, wow, why is she here? You just don't see that every day. And so she spoke to me. It was just me and her getting gas. And she spoke to me and she said, wow, did you hear about this hurricane? They say it's coming directly for us. And when she said that, that kind of struck me. So that's how I heard about it. The little white lady in my neighborhood at the gas station.
Days before Katrina hit, hospitality worker Ida Peterson and a friend also met a nameless messenger as they searched for a path out of harm's way. By chance, they encountered a doctor who, like a guardian angel, made their escape possible.
Well, money was low. We didn't have any money. So this doctor told us just to come along with him. And he paid everything. Hotels, every hotel we went to, he paid. Food, he paid all the food. I couldn't find the rest of my family, all scattered all over. I didn't know where the other 5 kids were, and neither my grandkids, 16 of them, I didn't know where they were. He stuck with us until the end, until I found my kids.
On the highways, as more than 1 million people fled their homes, numberless acts of goodwill and empathy were performed. Today, survivors continue to tell story after story commemorating the kindness of roadside strangers. Dorothea Scaglione is a Sicilian-American native Brooklynite who lived in New Orleans for years. She headed out of the city the day before Katrina's landfall and found herself on the Mississippi border.
When we had been coming up 55, right before we crossed the border into Mississippi, there was an overpass, and it has always, always made an impression on me. There were about 30 people standing on the overpass, and they had hung a sheet over that said, Godspeed, hope you make it. And that made a big impression. It still does. I have tears in my eyes thinking about those people standing there.
Most of us didn't get any help from the officials along the way. Instead, it was regular citizens who came to our aid. Glenn Guidreau owned a shop on Magazine Street. It took him 8.5 hours to reach Houston, and he remembers the very first people he met there.
I'll never forget going to Denny's, which was attached to this motel, at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was sitting there, and I was sitting next to some people, that a husband and wife, an elderly person, and we just got to yakking, and she said, are you from the storm? And I said, yes. And she said, what room are you in? And I said, I'm in number 112. I'll never forget that room as long as I live. And about an hour later, there was a knock on the door, and it was this lady, this very, very kind lady. And she gave me 2 gift certificates to Denny's for $5 each. She wanted to do something to help us, to help everybody. And so I thought, this has to be the friendliest, nicest city in the world. We worried about the animals, taking them in and out of the motel. I didn't want anybody to see them. I didn't want to get thrown out. When I checked out of the motel, I said to the lady, she was Vietnamese, owned the motel, and I said to her, you know, I want to thank you very much for allowing us to bring our pets in here. There were a lot of Louisiana people there, and she said to me, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, of course, these are your children.
In coffee shops, gas stations, motels, and grocery stores, all along the road to safety, evacuees encountered a helping hand, a gift of food, or an offer of gasoline. Angela Trahan recalls what a difference these moments meant to her and her family.
We came in the store, it was a truck stop, and you know, everybody's gonna use the bathroom and cool off for a minute and everything, and you could tell we had just been through hell. So when we came in the store, you know, we sat down and my mom started talking to this older man that was sitting there, and he asked my son, he said, hey man, y'all was just in that storm? And my son said, yeah, it was bad. And he said, are you hungry? And my son said, you know, a little bit. And he said, well, take your mom and go up there and get you something to eat. So I turned around and I said, you know, we appreciate it, but there's nine of us, you know. And he was like, I don't care how many of y'all it is. Everybody go up there and get something to eat. Come sit down. It's all on me. Get as much as you want, you know, get something to drink, get something to go. He did that for us, and we got back on the road. And by this time, we were an hour outside of Houston, and we needed more gas. So we found a little gas station, and the minute we were getting out, it was a pastor for the church that was down the street, his wife and his two daughters. And when we pulled up to the gas tanks, it's just written all over your face, you know, when you've gone through something like this. So they were like, pull your cars up, pull the car and the truck up, gas up, and, you know, we'll pay for it and everything. And it was like $45 for the car and like $55 for the truck. They gassed us up. They took us in the store. They bought the kids snacks. They bought drinks. They were like, does anybody need any cigarettes? You know, what everything you need, get it, and we'll cover it. They did that, plus they gave us money.
Angela Trahan's 10-hour trip ended in Houston's Fifth Ward.
So we were blessed all the way from Mississippi here to Houston. And once we got here, it was just like, thank God, because we really did not think that we would make it.
After all, deliverance from such disaster is everything. And in this case, deliverance may have had a divine cast, but it was also essentially human and personal, and at the hands of the many anonymous individuals who helped without reward. Surviving Katrina and Rita in Houston is a collaboration of the University of Houston, the Texas Commission on the Arts, the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, and the American Folklore Society. Radio presentations have been funded in part by the Houston Endowment and the Houston Arts Alliance. For more information on the Surviving Katrina and Rita in Houston project, visit our website, www.katrinaandrita.org.